By God's grace, I want to say that it's been a really solid summer together as a church family, where the temptation in the summer is spiritually to get kind of sleepy, but it's actually been vibrant here at Grace, and many lives changed, and we're also looking forward to the fall. There's a lot of excitement. We're nearing the end of this series, going through the book of Ephesians, just 2 weeks left, and it kind of fits, doesn't it? Labor Day weekend, we're talking about work. That kind of fits right there. And then also looking ahead, we're going to be starting a series, The Sermon on the Mount, and it's Matthew chapters 5 through 7. What is Jesus saying to us? It's Jesus delivering this message. We're going to dive into that study. You can read ahead if you want to, Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Let's pray together as we get into God's Word. Father, thank you that you are alive, that you are mighty, that you speak to us and communicate to us. Even when we're stubborn or distracted, Father, through your word, through the Holy Spirit, you find a way to get our attention, to pursue us, and then help us to realize your wisdom and your ways. Change our hearts and our habits, our relationships today. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, one of the major themes is identity. Our identity is not in what we do. It's not in our work. It's not in being religious. It's in a relationship with the Lord. It's in the Lord. In Jesus, we find security. In Jesus, we find forgiveness and acceptance. And out of that, Jesus is central in everything that we do. The centrality of Jesus. As he's central, the cornerstone of our lives, then we want to live out this faith together. It's not just individual, it's together. For the Ephesians, for the Washingtonians, the same truth today, and it's together. So we're walking through this book, and as we get to Ephesians chapter 5, there's a verse that stands out that's a springboard. And it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit is the springboard, because the next sections are marriage, parenting, and work. And back then, work, employer, employee, slave, master, it was within the house. So really, all three of these are within the house. You think about marriage, parenting, and the workplace. All three, an incredible privilege, but also universally and across cultures then and now, those three realms, there's a lot of tension, isn't there? When you hear people share their frustrations in life, a lot of times it has to do with marriage, parenting, or the workplace. And it's a reminder that we can't do it on our own. We can't do the Christian life on our own. So we look to God and we say, God, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. And then we enter in. Daily grace is a phrase you hear a lot in our church, and it's a vision. It's a 24/7 relationship with God. There's no compartmentalization with faith to just one building, one day, 1 hour. But instead, it's not just Sunday, it's every day. It's where we live, work, learn, and play. And that fits for this topic of the workplace and the work that we do, because our work is our worship. Our work is part of our worship to God. Let's take that perspective. Here's our main question today. Is your approach to work the same as God's perspective? If you're going to be honest, what is your approach to work? Is it the same as God's perspective? Some people in this room are employed, have a job, and you just love what you do. You're kind of bummed that Monday is off, because you would really like to get in there and do some things on Monday. You like your work. You're energized. Other people would like Labor Day to actually be Labor Month, and let's not even get started until October. You know, the job is just kind of dreadful at times. Some people here don't have a job, and you're praying, and you're looking, and you're searching, and you're clinging to God. Keep going and persevering. For some people, the season is school, and that's your season to really focus. Some people here are retired, but yet you're serving, and you're very active in that retirement. Some people here are stay-at-home parents, and you might be doing a lot more work than everyone else, and no one realizes it, and there's not time off, and there's not a paycheck, and there's not a lot of praise, but you're serving. So when we think about the workplace, think about where you're at in the season of life. It's for everybody. It's really, what's the place that you are investing your time and energy? The people in the place, the role that you have, or you're investing during the week, your time or energy, that's what we want to focus on today. And we're asking God to do a new work a transformational work in four areas, four components. And I encourage you to search your heart during the message. Are you saying yes to God in all four of these areas as it relates to work? Let's take a look at the passage again, Ephesians chapter 6. And you can always bring a Bible. Let us know if you need a Bible or just find it on your device. Let's let it sink in. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Four components, and the first one that jumps out is relationships. Relationships are a vital part of work, and there's also some specific words that really stand out in this passage. Let's dive into the first one that's kind of unusual, and when we read it, we say, what is going on with that? Slaves is the word, and the reality of the day, as this was written, there were millions of slaves. In that culture, in between about a third and half the people were in that position of being a slave. They had no legal rights at the time. They didn't have, whoever their master was had full authority. They were seen as property as well. And a lot of the slaves had now become Christians. What's the slave going to do? What's the proper response to their master? Now that they know Jesus, their lives are changed. That was the situation for this text. And I want to make it very clear, the Bible does not condone slavery. And it's been one of the worst things we've seen in our country, is the slavery in the history of America. It was a lot of the Christians, followers of Jesus, who overcame slavery, who also helped abolish slavery as well. We see slavery in the Bible. The Israelites were in slavery to Pharaoh, but God set them free. God cares about the prisoner. God cares about the orphan. God cares about the one who's trapped in slavery. Comes alongside. God's heart breaks for those. I think of human trafficking right now, and how many people are trapped in slavery in our own country. God sees that slavery. His heart breaks. He wants people to help them be set free. And he wants people to be wide awake to that situation, to be active around the world, helping people, setting captives free. Also with slavery, a lot of people think of racism, and I want to be very clear with this as well. The Bible is always 100% against racism. 100%. God's against it, the Bible's against it, and we as a church are always against it. That's overt, covert, systemic racism. It's wrong. And so that's another thing that's important to highlight. Also with slavery, the Bible says we are not slaves to sin. We serve the Savior. We're not slaves to sin. We don't need to walk around during the day slaves to sin, slaves to fear. You're tempted. You say, no, sin, I'm not a slave to you. There is freedom in Jesus' name. I will serve the Lord. And that word in the Bible is bondservant or doulos. Peter and Paul both say that. James and Jude, I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He's the one I gladly serve. And it's voluntarily, it's permanently. That's my posture. That's what I'm all about, serving the Lord. Here's the second word that jumps out, and it's the word obey. Now, I want you to think master slaves for our contemporary culture. I want you to think employer and employee, because that's what's going on in this passage as well. If you're an employee, you are to serve. It's a serving role. You're there, you're paid to serve. And with that, we have the word obey, to do what we're asked to do. The same word is true with parents and kids. Kids, obey your parents. The word also has a military context. If you serve in the military, make sure you obey. You're not in rebellion in that setting as well. How do we obey? The Bible says, with a sincere heart. That word in the Greek means simple and without folds. Serve with a sincere heart and with respect. Some people say respect is earned. But let me, from this passage, point out that respect is actually automatic. automatic. See, a lot of people, when it comes to respect, take the posture of, well, let me see, who are they? How nice are they? Okay, fine, I'll give them respect because I guess they're pretty considerate. That's not actually a biblical posture. And let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. To bring automatic respect for whoever your boss is. I don't know who your boss is. I don't know what they're doing or saying. But don't slander them, gossip against them. No, show respect unto the Lord. And it's not based on how do they treat you today. It's respect you bring. Now, if they ask you to do something immoral, don't do it. Never do something immoral. That's not respecting. And in almost every workplace, you have an opportunity to bring suggestions, feedback, input in a way that's very appropriate. And usually as you head up the org chart, you bring that information. Your perspective is valuable. Hopefully you feel very valued in your workplace. But you want to bring the respect. Why? Because it's from the Lord. It's what God wants. Now on the flip side, masters or employers, similar, mutual respect. Mutual respect. The Bible says fairness and love. If you're an employer, fairness and kindness is so important. And why? Well, there's a tender way of saying it, and that's bosses, make sure you bring fairness and kindness. And then there's a tough way of saying it. Bosses, you're not the boss. You've got a master, and you're accountable to Jesus. You might be walking around like, you know, you're the top of the food chain. No, actually, you're looking up. You're going to be held accountable. The way you treat the people underneath you in the org chart, you're going to answer to Jesus. And we need both, don't we? We need reminders sometimes like, oh yeah, be tender and be kind and be fair. And then we also need reminders that are very straightforward and says, you're going to be accountable to Jesus for everything you say and do as the boss. And then that's strong. And that comes in this passage as well. So both are there. And you might be thinking, whew, I don't have anybody working for me. That doesn't apply. But let me also point out that in many settings, you're the one who's paying for a service. And how do you treat the people when you pay for a service? For example, when you go to a restaurant, you're paying the waiter or waitress. Are you kind with the waiter or waitress? When there's customer service and something didn't go the way you wanted it to, you paid for a service. Now you're in that position, and how do you treat the people there? When you go to the airport and your flight is delayed, how do you respond to the person at the counter? There are many contexts where you decide what you're going to bring, and if you paid for something, it does not give you the entitlement to be harsh and mistreat people just because you paid for something. So that's how this verse really fits for all of us, because we're frequently in that situation. And I talked to someone this week, and he said his primary ministry, because he's always traveling for his work, is to, you know, go into restaurants and then just be thankful to the waiter or waitress, have a conversation. And he said almost always that person's willing to talk and go deeper. And he said half the time when he finishes his meal, he prays with the waiter or waitress, just prays for them and what's going on in their lives. And by the way, he doesn't leave a small tip. Please never do that. Please never go into a restaurant, mistreat a waiter or waitress, and then tell them you're a Christian, or share a bunch of stuff about your faith, and then just leave a 4% tip, right? It just ruins it all. He leaves a very generous tip, and it's important to take care of people that are serving you as well. This is what we see in this passage. And you know, one book in the Bible, it's a short book, one chapter. So if your goal is to read a whole book in the Bible, you could read this in about 5 minutes and say, yeah, I just read a chapter. Philemon is the letter, and Onesimus is a runaway slave. Philemon's the master. Onesimus has been lazy and disrespectful, and now he's a runaway slave. But now Onesimus has come to know Jesus. And Paul's writing Philemon to say, bring back your brother and restore, because your brother's changed. There's a spiritual dynamic at work in every workplace, and God changes lives. And Onesimus, his life has changed. So even though there's an org chart, Philemon, you have equality. You're equal. You're brothers in the Lord. And what Paul's really asking Philemon to do is to see his job as a platform for relationships. Let me say that again. Your job is a platform for relationships. Relationships are primary. Who you are is more important than what you're doing. Your character that you bring, your attitude, your work ethic, it's more important. Who you are, your kindness in those relationships is more important than whether you get an A or an A minus or a B plus as far as the work goes. In those relationships, the people you work with, they're more important than the task that's being done. And so I want you to kind of recalibrate in terms of work. And I know some jobs are more around people than others, but relationships are biblically primary when it comes to work. Be careful that you don't just adopt a corporate mentality. There's a lot of things in the corporate world that are good. There's also some norms that go against the Bible. And you might say, well, I heard it on a podcast. There's a lot of great podcasts. You can listen and learn from a lot of different people on podcasts. But I want to make sure the ultimate of how you view and how you work is the Bible, not the podcast. Have a biblical mentality. I can say this is kind of like a Godcast. This is what God's sending out. And I won't do that. Godcast versus podcast. But you get the idea that what is God saying to you about your workplace is more important than just the corporate norm that you inherit. And Jesus made it clear. He wants his followers to go out in this world shrewd as a serpent, innocent as a dove. In some workplaces, there's a lot of restrictions and you can't freely share your faith. Then I encourage you, the more restrictions there are, to go out of your way to build relationships and take people out to coffee or to lunch or to have them over to your home. Why? Because we need in the sound, we need followers of Jesus to go into workplaces and bring the love, the courage, and the creativity of Jesus in those workplaces and primary as relationships. So I spend a little extra time on the relationships because that's one that gets neglected or overlooked. They're seen as second rate in the workplace. Here's the second one, and this is our motivation in the workplace. We're motivated unto Christ with gratitude, with trusting Jesus, and also we want to be faithful to the Lord. This is how motivation works. We look up to Jesus, we look upward, and that changes us inward. And then out of that inward provision from the Lord, then we move forward and it goes outward. People who don't look upward and they only look inward for motivation, they run out. But people who look upward, their light shines in a different way at the workplace. So look upward, then the inward motivation that Jesus brings, and then it flows out. And I'll say the motivation is greater than a promotion, a paycheck, or praise. Most people are going to be primarily motivated by promotion, paycheck, or praise. But that is never meant to be your primary motivation. You look up to the Lord. Jesus is your motivation, not those other things. Those other things, if they come, then you praise the Lord for those. Here's the four traps that often happen in the workplace. First one is lip service. You ever been around or working with someone who just talks a great game, but they don't back it up? They talk about all they do, or they have the right answers, but they don't back it up. A lot of lip service at the workplace. Here's the next one, eye service at the workplace. Oh, the boss is watching? Oh, I'm scrubbing so hard. Boss is gone? Let me just check social media for a while. Oh, coming back. Yep, I'm still doing it right here. Oh, boss is gone. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, where's my phone? You see, that's just eye service. It doesn't honor the Lord. The next one is just people pleasing. The boss, kiss up. You ever seen anyone just manipulate and kiss up to the boss? You just kind of go, ah. And that happens a lot of times at workplaces. That doesn't honor the Lord. Or flesh pleasing. You know what your greatest temptation might be in terms of the workplace? Laziness, cutting corners, leaving early, not doing the job well. Laziness is an intense temptation every single day to be lazy. And that's another one, just pleases the flesh. So these are all temptations and traps, but they're not from the Lord. This is from the Lord, Colossians 3, verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart in reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I've got a visual in this video. What does it look like to work at it with all your heart? Let's just see a little bit of work in action right here. That's it. You see that?
There's orange signs overhead, lines along the floor, relieves those exits. Safety information card can be found in the seat back occupant. Take note of noticing a minimal water evacuation.
But this guy right here, some creativity is going on, and you kind of appreciate it. You see, your job, really, it's more about what you bring to the job than what your job actually is. That's right. What do you bring to your job is more important than what your job actually is. So everyone's got their own style. And there we go. There we go. He just made a few people's days. On that plane, someone was stressed out and worried, like, are we going to crash? And someone just saw him and lightened up and said, you know, it's a good day right there. Every day, you can make someone else's day. It's not just the job you do. It's what you bring to the job. That's the primary part. That's the emphasis here. And maybe you're sitting here today saying, well, I don't like my job. I'd say we see that in the Bible a lot, don't we? Moses turned to God and said, I don't like my assignment. Could you find somebody else? Jeremiah said, I'm not really a talker, God. I mean, I'm just kind of... And God said, I'm going to put the words in your mouth, Jeremiah. I'm going to help you with that. You know, there were idols in the Bible. Asherah poles, golden calf is an idol. There's Baal. You know what I think a popular idol is today? Want to. The idol, want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. You know who worshiped that idol? Jonah. Jonah. God, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to say that, God. I don't want to see them. They're my enemies. I don't want to see them receiving blessing from you, God. I don't want to lose my vine because the sun is hot. God, I don't want this. I don't want to. And that's what Jonah wrestled with the whole book. I don't want to. Is that the idol you're wrestling with today? The idol want to? You don't want to? Amos, on the other hand, the Bible, says, God, you want me to shepherd? I'll take care of those sheep. That's a grungy job, but I'll take care of those sheep. God, you want me to take care of fig trees? I'll pick the figs. God, you want me to now bring a word up north? God, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. But if you say so, I'll bring a word. And I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I've got a word from the Lord. In the different seasons, Amos's response is yes. And he's motivated by faithfulness to the Lord. There's a lot of different jobs. CBS News said the best job, in their estimate, is data scientist. Because on average you make $108,000 a year, there's lots of openings, and the job satisfaction reports are incredibly high. Now, USA Today did a study, and they looked at what is the worst job, the absolute worst job. Do you know what they came up with for the worst job? Taxi driver. There's over 200,000 taxi drivers. On average, they make under $26,000 a year. On top of that low pay, there is high stress, rude people in the car with them. There is traffic. There is the weather. There's not a chance to really climb up. They just continue in that role for a long time. And I would say God can transform any job. I think if I was a taxi cab driver, I'd be turning on that praise music, having some conversations, just getting enjoying people. See, whatever job you're in, Joseph didn't plan to be in prison. It was an injustice. He was thrown in there. That's not the job he wanted, but Joseph transformed the prison because God was with him and he worked unto the Lord. And I want to tell you, it might be a lot of endurance and you're relying on the Lord, but that job situation you're in can be transformed. The culture can be transformed, but it'll start with your heart. It'll start with your heart and what God's doing there. Jesus understands career changes and job changes. He was a carpenter, and then God called him to preach, teach, and heal. Would you agree that's a pretty drastic career change? He understands career changes. Jesus understands short careers. It was 3 years he was preaching, teaching, and healing. Jesus didn't have a life here on earth into his 40s. It was a short run. And Jesus understands the worst jobs. Why? Because no one's had a worse job. The Savior of the world, spit on, mocked, beaten, on the cross, murdered, became sin, forsaken by the Father. That's the job description. Jesus said yes, and he did it in the very best way. We have salvation, eternal. We have a relationship with God 24/7 because Jesus was faithful with the worst job ever. That's the basis for, we don't pay him back. That's not, we don't earn our way to heaven. But how he lived is the basis for how we work and live. And that's a game changer. The same Holy Spirit that worked in him and empowered him, enabled him to do the very most difficult job, the same Holy Spirit, the same power of God that'll help you on the toughest days of your job. When your motivation runs out, you just say, help me, Jesus. And he cares, and he will empower you, and he'll do amazing things through you at that workplace that's so difficult, that's so difficult. Here's a third aspect to our work, and it's effort. You know, joy and sacrifice, they really go together. They do, joy and sacrifice. And I see that sometimes people are naive and serving in a church. They just think it's all going to be joy. And I'd say, well, it's really a combination of joy and sacrifice. Some people view the serving at the church in different roles as, oh, it's just church. I can skip that. I can show up late to that. I can do a half-hearted job. It's just the church. I encourage you to check that attitude. Serving the Lord here in this setting. What a privilege. Look at what Scripture says here. And this is what Peter writes. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. In other words, heaven's our home. We have a short time here on earth to serve the Lord in different ways. Let's do it wholeheartedly. That's the word from this passage. Wholeheartedly, which means from the soul. It means your whole being. And again, it's the opposite of laziness. A lot of people ask the question, what is God's will for me this week? What's God's will? And this is one thing that I would say is very clear. God's will is your job description. What's your job description at work? That's God's will for you. That's God's will. To knock it out of the park and inspire other people to go strong and knock it out of the park as well. Inspire other people to do the same. Say, well, God's will, it's kind of ambiguous and nebulous. It's your job description to do it unto the Lord. And that's God's will for you. And he'll help you to do that as well. You know, it's a learning process with every job. I remember the first job I had was in a grocery store. And think of these four stages. And hopefully this is encouraging as you're growing and God's growing you in your workplace. You know, the first stage for me was unconscious incompetence, which means I had no idea how much I didn't know about grocery stores, all right? Then the next one would be a conscious incompetence. I started to realize there's a lot to do with ordering, supplies, storage, presenting. I started to become more aware of what I didn't know. And then the next realm instead would be a conscious competence. And now I'm really thinking as I have customers and I'm putting the groceries into the bags, all right, what goes on the top, the bread or the fruit? I'm asking you. People care about what gets smashed when you're in that job. So I am consciously trying to listen, look at, sometimes ask, think through, all right, bananas, bread, where's it going to go? And I'm constantly thinking, but I'm not that sharp on it, but I'm learning. And then eventually it becomes unconscious competence where I'm not even thinking about it as much. And you know what? In each stage of that, it's reliance on the Lord. But you know what God's doing at each stage? He's building up your skills. He's building up your capacity. Your gifts he's given you, they're increasing. He's fanning the flame. And ultimately, don't be misled, because even at a job that you think is not my dream job, it's not my ultimate career job, God will give you things through that job to prepare you for the next job. And you'll look back in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and you'll say, you know, that one role I had here that summer or that 4 years, it was tough. But now I see what God was doing during that season and how much I need it now. It's God's wisdom. He cares. And then he also rewards. You know, sometimes as a parent, I wrestle with how many rewards, how big a motivation should rewards be? And I like to give out rewards. Here's a couple pictures from this last week. One reward was we're going to, well, it's a skate park, but we call it a scooter park because we're bringing scooters to the skate park. Skaters think it's kind of interesting when we show up. But I said, all right, kids, if you get the stuff done, we're going to the scooter park. And you know what happens? Kids get industrious when they hear that. Here's another award from this week. McDonald's, the McFlurry Award. It's amazing how helpful kids become when there's a McFlurry attached to what they're doing. And now do you see the wrestling during the week? It's like, should we do the reward? Should we not do the reward? But then you know what? As I read the Bible, I'm encouraged. You know why? Because a major theme in the Bible is God says, reward, 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 reward. God is not subtle about saying how much he will and is rewarding us. He says it over and over again about earthly rewards, heavenly rewards, obedience, faithfulness will lead to rewards. It's a major theme in the Bible. Your rewards are right now. They are down the road, or they are heavenly, right? Think of those three realms, right now rewards, down the road, a little more long term, and heavenly rewards. And I say this to encourage you, the hardest, most difficult sacrifices usually end up in the category of the heavenly rewards. Don't expect every reward to be right now from God. Stay faithful to God with the biggest sacrifices and just know that it's often linked to the heavenly rewards. Keep walking by faith in that realm, and this is part of the effort we want to bring to the Lord. The last one is mission. So we've talked about relationships, motivation, effort, and now the mission. Singleness of heart, this says, undivided. It's not easy to be on mission. Here's a picture from, you know, kids are going back to school, social media. This has been popular this week. All right, what you see on the left, the kid heading off to school, first day of pre-K, and then this is the picture after the first day of pre-K. Do you notice a slight difference, right? Everyone's excited to post that first one on social media, but what's the reality of the second one? It's not easy being on mission. Here's one other picture for you. Heading off to school, little different picture. Coming home, it's tough. Some people going out on mission to serve the Lord, they're like, yes, let's do this. And then they come back, oh, that's not easy being on mission. I want to share some stats I found from pastors. And you can look up statistics for your own jobs. But this was eye-opening for me from Soul Shepherding, that website that researched many different studies. Listen to this. 90% of all pastors, 90%, work between 55 and 75 hours a week. They're fatigued every week, and they also know burnout in the burnout experience, 90%. 80% say that ministry negatively affects their family. 77% say that they are not in a good marriage. 77% of pastors. 75% say they are extremely high and stressed. The stress levels are extremely high. 70% say they have low self-esteem, constantly battling depression, grossly underpaid, no close friends. 70% of pastors say no close friends, and they only study the Bible when they're preparing a sermon. 65% say they feel their families are in a glass house, and 50% turn to porn. 50%. Yeah, let those sink in, right? Pray for pastors, not just in this church. Pray for pastors around the sound. Pray for pastors in America. You see what the realities are. They often don't present that or share that, but you see what's going on. We are not, pastors or missionaries are not like A team and everyone else is B team. We are all on a mission together. And, okay, being a pastor is not necessarily easy. None of us. Being on mission is easy. We all need encouragement. We all need prayer and to be looking out for one another. We are all ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:20, of Jesus Christ. What's an ambassador? An ambassador, if there's a U.S. ambassador in another country, people from that other country might not come to America and they might be thinking, I'm never going to see your country, but I see you. I'm never going to experience your country, but I experience you first. And when you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ, many people aren't experiencing the Bible. They say, I don't know much about Jesus. I don't experience the Bible. I don't experience church. I don't experience worship, but I experience you. and you represent Jesus. People are looking to see Jesus in you. It's a high calling. You're his ambassador. It means to represent. And you might think of it this way, to represent Jesus. A lot of people have misconceptions about Jesus and the sound, things that aren't accurate, things that are twisted and tainted about Jesus. And you get the privilege of being his representative. No joke. This is how it works. God knows his family and he knows where to place his family. And he looks around and he says, I want to put you there. And I want to put you there. And you're the one I put there to represent me in that place. And it's not an accident that you're there. I've placed you there. You're my ambassador. You represent Jesus. What a privilege as we let that sink in. We don't want to miss our opportunities. You know, the two places I think of when I get on an airplane, I'm either in checkout mode, don't want to talk to anyone, or there's a person sitting next to me for 5 hours. They might be sharing an armrest. They might be leaning in into my chair a few times and snoring. You never know how that goes. But I've got an opportunity. And when I've been ready on airplanes, amazing conversations. Big difference than when I'm checked out. When I go to our kids' sports games, there's a big difference between, I don't feel like talking to any of these parents today, and who's here? God, what do you want me to do? And the conversations that flow, the invitations, the life pain that is shared, sometimes prayer. I mean, it's just amazing the difference. There's a big difference between being ready in your spirit when you show up at work and not being ready or being self-consumed. This is about being intentional more than additional. I'm not saying go out and do 8 more hours of such and such. No, no, no. It's the place God already put you there, just being intentional. Do we embrace God's view when it comes to work? Relationships, motivation, effort, and mission. Let's pray. God, thank you for how you recalibrate. These aren't easy truths, but you change us and you change our hearts to love people, to be motivated by you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for the example you set. Thank you that you're with us personally. Thank you for the power that you give. And we see the difference between trying to do it on our own and trying to do it with you. Thank you for your grace. God, I pray that you would kind of re-energize our vision, our mission for what the gifts you've given us, the opportunities, the people we serve and serve with. And Lord, set our vision for this year. Set our vision. Unite us together. If anyone here doesn't know you, Jesus, I pray it would happen today as we take in the work that you've done for us, Jesus. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. I pray people today would put their trust in you for the first time, start the relationship. And then I pray all of us would serve you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.